Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Oh, it's such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
But you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
What's the turnaround mean to you? Like, if you were to start a show saying, "Man, the Sacramento Kings have turned this thing around," what would have just happened, or has it already happened?
They would have gone 2-1-1 on this upcoming road trip,
and that would put them at 500. I think.
Yeah, at 500, you've won 7 of the last 9, or no, that's been. Yeah,
3 games on 6. Yeah, six you would have won 7 of the last 9.
7 of the last 9.
Yeah, cuz you lost the Laker game. Yeah. You would have won 7 of 9 with Doug Christie as your head coach.
Is it unfair to say they haven't turned it around to they're consistently, I guess, in like just in that playoff slot where it's like they're not 11-12 anymore. They're 9-8 and frankly, you'd rather them be 6-7.
Yeah,
because that's where the expectation was before the season too.
For sure, the playoff sure, like long term.
Yeah, because the wins are nice, but it's like you still have to get back to where you were expected to be. Yeah,
no, for sure. But I feel like you're at least getting oxygen if you win, you know, those the 2 or 3 on this road trip, right? Yeah. Yeah. And to me, the sample size I was looking for was like 10 to 15 games with Doug, like. Could you win 5 in a row? Like, great, but what does it look like after 10? Mm-hmm. Because we were talking about the Kings need a run. What was Philly was like 9 of 12? I think that was the example I used. Philly was able to kind of get themselves back into the mix of everything by winning 9 of 12. It wasn't this ridiculously long win streak. It was nothing. 9 of 12, man. That's a good number.
Yep.
If the Kings can pull like 9 of 12, like, yeah, I'll feel like, hey, they've turned this thing around, not because they're in playoff standings, play-in standings or anything like that, but because you just got 9 of 12. Give me 8 of 10, next. Give me 7 of 10. Now you're 10th.
Right.
8th. Now you are starting to talk about the top 6, especially the way the West looks. And if you're winning games like that, you're probably beating some of those teams in front of you, a handful of times. That to me would constitute the turnaround. We're not there yet.
Right.
It's fun to talk about right now. We're not there yet, but we're definitely approaching it.
And it's a great breakdown by you, because maybe it's a little bit of semantics when you talk about turnaround. Like, you can win 9-12 and say you've turned it around. Are you where you want to be? Where you plan to be? No, thing was all over the place. It was falling out of a cliff, and you got the season back on track. You turned it around, got the season back on track. Now you're moving forward. in more of a positive vote. I like what you say, you know, try to get to that 9 and 12, mm-hmm. you know, after 12 Doug Christie games or so. Mm-hmm. See what you can do.
It's what Philly did. I don't think it's far what Milwaukee did. Milwaukee didn't have a 15-game win streak.
Right.
I feel like the insider talked about, we talked about a bit too. Say they win, take 2 out of 3, get Milwaukee and Boston, however you want to do it or whatever. Have they turned it around enough to where it's like, all right, this is the squad, or like Monty capitalize on this now and build off of it?
I don't think there's a situation where, barring Kevin and Trey, because that's really what we're talking on, continuing to do what he do, Kevin and Trey pulling really well, and you look at the bench going, wow, something has really clicked with this bench. Mm-hmm. And that, but that has to be for a, that starts Friday and runs till February 1st.
Yeah.
You give me Friday till February 1st, I'll just shut the hell up. All right, Monty, you got it. You were right. But outside of that, I'm going to keep looking at this roster like, now this is fun. This is great. You win 9 of 12. We even put together, you win 16 of 20. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm still. I mean, we good, or what are we doing? What's that look like? Are those guys playing massive minutes again? Is Kevin constantly in single digits? Give me something near a double digit number, mm-hmm. in either points or rebounds. Mm-hmm. He had one, I think it was Golden State, where 7 points, 9 rebounds.
Yeah,
I'll take it.
Yeah,
give me that.
I don't want to say Trey's untouchable. I'm not saying that, but I'm not trying to move him. I laid the reasons out yesterday, you know, roster construction and just the way he's playing. I think he's back to playing the way he's played consistently for his entire career. So I'm not necessarily trying to move him. If I get a great deal, you know, and he has to be a part of it, understandable. But you're always looking to improve this roster. You know, when you win a couple of games, that doesn't change what's going on. It may change who you're willing to give up. You know, Devin Carter, Trey Lyles may not be a part of that anymore. But I think Monty should be, at the very least, always looking to improve this roster, always looking to add to what they have,
mm-hmm.
and continue to try to elevate.
Mm-hmm.
100%. They can win 15 in a row. I don't care.
Yeah.
Well,
you win 15. Well, and that's the other thing. You win 15 in a row. You put together one of these win streaks that we're talking about, or sample sizes of games. It's like, okay, great. Now we're back to where we originally hoped to be, or we're back to being in the vicinity of what we originally hoped to be.
Mm-hmm.
Can we be better?
Yeah.
If we can, what trade makes us better? Not what player acquisition makes us better. Right. What trade makes us better? Because remember, it's a trade. Someone's coming in and someone's going out.
Yep.
So does that make us better? We could talk about, like Kyle Madsen was talking about earlier on the Insiders. You can add Brandon Ingram to the Sacramento Kings, and sure, it's beautiful. You can add Cam Johnson to the Sacramento Kings. Sure, it's great. But once you remove Trey and Kevin, or Kevin and Devin Carter, well, do you still feel the same way about Cam Johnson? Do you still feel the same way about whatever particular player that you just acquired in that trade? And does it actually make you better?
How would you guys feel about the Kings bench if they were rolling out Keon, Cam Johnson, and Trey Lyles as their, like, just normal three rotational guys? Then whoever else can fill in, but, yeah, like, that's the three off the bench usually.
That'd be great.
Yeah, I love that.
That'd be
great. I'm wondering if, like, Kevin Herter and Devin Carter gets it done for Cam Johnson or something. Throwing picks or whatever, but.
You definitely throwing picks the way Brooklyn's talking.
Devin Carter's
looked good for the first couple games, but also it's been a couple games.
Yeah.
So don't fall in love too fast.
You sell high on what little value he's built up.
Is it love at first sight?
I don't know if it's love, but he does provide what the team needs. You know, toughness on the perimeter.
Cam
with
don't
defense.
Do that?
Cam's not the defender that Devin Carter is. We keep talking defense. Cam, he's a good matchup. Like, you, in theory, can match up with him, but he's not, like, this great defender.
So, how many people have fallen, like, because this is first sight. Let's call it what it is. Mm-hmm. How many people have fallen in love with Devin Carter? Like, just love at first sight with the rookie. It doesn't even have to be a generic question. Y'all can answer. You're watching right now. Get in the chat and tell us.
I think a good amount of people have.
I feel like
I don't know if
too.
I'm necessarily
I feel like they have too.
I don't know if I'm necessarily there, but I the things that he provides.
JT Lowe says me. Marcus says me. Securing Monty. Securing. He says me. Tyler Jennings right here.
What was the question I was taking a call right now?
Raise your hand if you've fallen in love, if it was love at first sight with Devin Carter.
I would try to.
Mrs. Mac 10.
I would try. I'd be more. I'll put it to you like this. I'd be more willing to move on from the, what was it, the 28 pick than Devin Carter.
Hmm.
If I could get a deal with Herter in the 28 pick, I'll put like, if they let me put like a crazy, like I'll say top seven protected, because I don't want to give like an unprotected if I could help it. But I'd be willing to do that because instead of Devin Carter. Because like I said, Devin, he does provide what you need, and it adds another guy like that, right? Like, because Keon does that, but now you get in a situation where you got Devin Carter and Keon kind of patrolling the perimeter and being physical and having a defensive mindset and being able to knock down a catch-and-shoot open three. I think that's great coming off your bench. Great coming off your bench. So I like what I said. I don't know if I'm in love on first sight, but it's, I guess it's pretty close now that I talk about it.
It's not love at first sight for me, but how comfortable are you moving off of Devin? Like, even though we don't know if Fox is going to be here beyond next season and all that. Like, that situation has resolved
that's
itself.
That's definitely a sketchy part of the conversation.
How do you move?
Yeah, that's a sketchy.
Like, you trade for Cam Johnson and all that, but, like, say, I don't know, whatever happens, and Fox is like, yeah, I'm done.
But, well, the way I go about that, like, they're not related to me because whatever, I can just give whatever I need with De'Aaron Fox trade. Like, if I'm.
But your needs could be different.
It's going to be a guard. Like, if I move on from Devin Carter and De'Aaron says he wants to leave, all right, well, if you want to trade with me, you got to bring me a guard back.
Yeah, but you have Malik, Devin, and Keon.
But he just said if you traded Devin. Like,
oh,
would you
okay.
Be worried?
Yeah. No, I think, but okay, go ahead. Sorry.
I'm like, that question is more like, are you trading Devin not without knowing what's going on with Fox? Like, does that give you any hesitation in a deal to use him?
That's where I say no, because. Because I just replenished that with a Fox trade.
I got you. But you could potentially get something else if you kept Devin, was my point. But maybe it doesn't matter if you have Keon, if you're confident enough in Keon and Malik. Or, to your point, you're getting Jalen Green back.
You can, like, I guess my thought is, like, with a Fox trade, you can get whatever it is you need.
Yeah. That's right.
If you need a wing,
including
if you
draft
need a
picks,
point guard or whatever,
including, which is why you could do the Cam Johnson deal, and if you replenish draft picks through a
whether you want to
buy, buy, buy.
In a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
Potential trade that hopefully isn't happening with De'Aaron Fox, then you could do it.
Yeah,
but if the deal's good enough,
yeah. So I would, and because of that as well, that's also why I would be open to moving that 2028 pick.
I don't. We'll talk.
I think.
We'll talk.
Okay.
On the other side.
Oh, look at this radio guy.
No. Awful. Don't ever do that, kids. We'll come back. You actually posed an interesting question since we're kind of talking about, you know, what De'Aaron's summer might look like. Who would be more coveted around the league? De'Aaron or Zion? Zion returned last night, and it's like everyone forgot he was hurt. We'll come back. We'll talk about it. James Hamm at the top of the hour. Dealing with KC, Sacramento sports leader, ESPN 1320.
I'll be damned.
Babyface turns everywhere. During the show, I struggle to hydrate properly because I don't want to keep getting over and over and over again. So when I get this nasty-ass green juice I drink every day, I started drinking these Vita Zeros, and they kind of fend off, like, you know, one, they keep you hydrated, tend to fend off headaches for me. So I had to do a 180 on the sports middle of the day.
Welcome. Soon enough, you'll be leaving bottles under your bed and all that.
I don't think that's ever. First of all, sir, you do know me very well. That is not going to happen.
The glass bottles. You gonna get the big?
Can you sell?
I'm sure you can get one
somewhere.
You can buy something anywhere.
Maybe not.
It's the glass Coke and Pepsi out there.
They do.
Maybe they do have the.
They do. Do your favorite flavor?
Yeah.
The orange joint?
Yeah. But it has to, bro.
Mm. So like, you don't venture off into Gatorade or anything like that?
No, I have the Gatorade lime at the house. It's Gatorade Zero. I don't need all that extra.
Yeah, I just can't do the zero. It's the taste, man. It's the aftertaste. It's just
bro, I can cucumber, celery, spinach, lemon, ginger, and cayenne pepper. Ask me if I give about the aftertaste.
That's the one right there.
It is.
I would have said, give me some chocolate cake or something, please.
I'll eat a cake. Don't play with me.
I was at the gym last night, and I was just shooting around before it closed or whatever. And this, these two guys, they were having a shootout, like a basketball shootout, where the guy, they bet $500 on who could win a 3-point shooting competition.
Mm-hmm.
And the first guy shot, and he made 5 of 15, right? Both of these guys were awful. But the first guy made 5 of 15. And then the second guy goes, and he's just, like, more than awful with the shot. Like, the shot is just nasty, just broke. And he started off 1 of 9. And then finish 5 of 6 to win.
Oh, man.
And the other guy's like, I can't believe I lost him. I can't believe it.
That
like,
is
he
terrific.
Was just throwing up cash for the first 9 shots and then caught fire and hit 5 of 6 to be.
That's amazing.
Quick question from the producer here. Damien, yep. Have you ever been to a pickup game or just a gym in general where they were throwing down $500 bets?
Nope.
Neither have I.
I mean, what are you talking about? It?
No, not me.
I was like, oh.
It was a regular gym.
You want Friendly Five on this 3-point contest? Like, that's what we do, I guess. Mm-hmm. Friendly Five, but 500,
it's not,
huh?
It's not Equinox. I mean, it was just a regular gym. Shout out to my people over at MFIT.
You probably go to the Mark Jones gyms, huh?
It's a good call right there.
Mark Jones, no, it's out of my tax bracket.
It's a good call right there.
How was that in shape?
I got to say, if you're throwing down $500 and you're only able to hit 5 out of 15 threes, like, what are you doing?
You're throwing down $500 and you're trash?
Yeah, what are you doing?
That's pretty spectacular.
That's how I know it's a rich gym.
Just trash-ass shooters throwing down $500.
I can't hit a 3 to save my life. I probably knew this before I got to the gym, but hey, let's bet $500 on this.
Goodness gracious.
I don't know if it gets paid up or not. It's not like they put the money on the court. So, I don't know. But that was pretty funny. Because I saw the second guy shooting. I was like, oh, my gosh. Well, your money's safe, pal.
You should have gone out there and taken their money.
I should have.
You probably have $500 in your sock.
I should have went out there. I was like, hey, guys.
Yeah, that's a good point, actually.
Can I get in this? And then, like, take a warm-up shot like this.
Okay.
Be like, ah.
Hold on.
A Cartwright.
Okay, wait a sec. Let me ask. I have to. What was the background of the gentleman shooting the threes?
It wasn't mine.
Okay, I was going to say, okay, then they'll never let you get in on the game. They just be like, nah, pal, we're just doing this for fun. It's cool. Nah, it's just a friendly game over here.
Here, let me get that warm-up shot there.
Oh, looking like that old Damon Wayans character from In Living Color, man. Stop it.
Oh, no.
Stop man. It.
The classic. Classic.
Classic, yep.
Oh, classic. Man. Yeah, that was funny. Like I said, maybe they just put it on my tab. Maybe that's what they said to each other.
Zion Williamson returned last night.
Woo, did he ever. Wow.
Yeah, and that was the collective NBA universe.
I didn't
Zion's
know he could do it like that.
From
again.
His latest injury.
I didn't know he could do it like that again, though, that 360 windmill he had. I didn't know he still had that in him.
He capped it, boy. He is just a phenomenal what if. Mm. And it feels like every time he comes back, he's a phenomenal, well, what could this be? Mm-hmm. And the Pelicans are in for my $500. Maybe the most unique spot in the league, maybe the most intriguing spot in the league from a league-wide perspective. And it's like, what are you guys doing with him? Are you going to try to continue to build around to him? Are you going to move off of him? And we were talking to the insiders earlier. Like, there's a risk either way, right?
Mm-hmm.
Miraculously, the injuries are behind him, and you trade, you know, a player who, you know, turns into who he doesn't turn into. He's everything we thought he would be, just not very consistently because he's not on the floor a ton. But when he's on the floor, he's box office.
Right.
Or do you risk keeping him and you just deal what you deal with this year and you deal with it again next year and the year after, and you just continue to deal with Zion kind of being in and out of your lineup? He's a captivating basketball player, and I don't think it's with just fans. I think it's with executives. I think it's with other players. I think it's league-wide. I think it's with coaches. Like, he is a extremely compelling basketball player. But the Pelicans suck. So what are you guys going to do? And I think that's going to set in a frenzy this summer where I don't think the Pelicans are going to be able to say, guys, we're not trading Zion Williamson. I don't think they're going to be able to do that. They're going to have to sit down and shut up publicly. Mm-hmm. They have to sit down and shut up. And whatever calls they get, you just take them and you talk. And you determine what's best for your franchise. But I think they're in a really unique spot.
Would you even, like for me, for instance, I would trade him. I would trade him this summer. He'd be on the trading block.
Okay.
Would it behoove me to even say that publicly? Like, we're open mm-hmm. for business.
Nope. Nope. Because you could say the same thing privately.
So that's what I'm saying. You're getting the word out there that we want to trade.
Not on, you don't call Stephen A. and
right,
say,
right.
Hey, it's Griff. Tell everyone we're cooking. Like, no, like if circles, you know, the league will find out. Everybody mm-hmm. talks. The league mm-hmm. is incestuous. I mean, the first thing, hey, man, just tell you something in confidence, blah, 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 blah. Oh, okay, cool. Gotcha. Hey, y'all won't believe what these hoes is doing. Man,
don't tell
like,
nobody.
Yeah, they're going to call someone and tell them right away. Like, that's not even basketball. That's damn near life.
Right.
Like, they're going to tell someone right away. So, yeah, like the league will find out. The thing is, though, once you do that, you better be prepared to do it. You better be able to be prepared to see that thing all the way through, because once it gets back to the star and the star's agent, mm-hmm. you know, they could just be, hey, whatever y'all want to do, we go along with it. Or they could be like, oh, okay. Oh, it's stalled? No, get us out of here.
Mm.
Like, you obviously, you want to handle this. You don't want this thing to turn, you know, too far left.
Right.
But you've got to – maybe you have conversations with Zion and his representatives, and it's like, hey, maybe New Orleans, maybe this marriage isn't the best for everybody. Like, we don't know that we'll be able to trade you, but we're going to very quietly explore what the market might look like for you. Mm. And you guys work together on that. And maybe that's not something you tell Zion. Maybe that's something you talk to his agent about, and his agent talks to Zion about it. Or maybe depending on the relationship they all have, maybe it is something you do at the end of the season when you're all together.
I think you do it this offseason, because you're probably going to fire Willie Green too. Like, you're blowing it up, I think, this offseason.
Mm. Yeah. I'd move on from Zion.
Yeah. It's Zion. I think they're both, I don't want to say better off, because like the Pelicans will be trading a top player and all that, but like I don't think Zion, whatever he needs to figure out, is figuring it out in New Orleans.
And maybe this is like different from like me talking about making a deal for the Kings or whatever, because you know I emotionally I want to see the Kings succeed because I'm a Kings fan or whatever. But with no emotions, no skin in the game,
mm-hmm.
talking about New Orleans. There's nothing Zion could do this season to make me change my mind. There's nothing.
Yeah.
I'm trading him. If anything, I want you to play good, because now I can get more. And it's not even like it's his fault or he's no good. Or like Jesse said, it's just not going to work here.
If you were going to have a year, it's like, all right, we'll just try it one more time and see if it works. That's this season, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's what this season was supposed to be.
Yeah. Who commands a bigger market this offseason? Zion or De'Aaron Fox?
I think it should be De'Aaron Fox. I think if you asked around to like writers and even NBA executives, it'd be Zion.
It should be.
Like, why?
Because he's just the unknown, I guess. Because when he's able to play,
that boy nasty.
He is a game changer.
Nasty. Oh, that LeBron dunk is cold, though. They just showed Zion's dunk on the TV. Now they're showing LeBron.
The Cooper flag joint. Cooper flag went off on that boy. Cooper went off on that boy.
Yeah, Cooper can get up.
Ooh, that's a good question. What's still the question? Who did it best, Zion, LeBron, or Cooper?
LeBron. LeBron's dunk was cold. LeBron didn't look like he could make it all the way to the rim.
I'm saying Zion.
Zion was in the open court.
Zion.
I think Zion's three. I put Cooper two.
Zion went crazy.
No, the Zion dunk was nasty.
That.
I like dunks in traffic. Give me dunks in traffic.
That Zion was crazy.
They definitely were. Yeah. But that's what gets everybody excited. And then it's like it's never happened to me, but I hear this is a thing. When like you break up with someone, you see them after a while, you get back together, or you spend time together. Oh, man, she fine. Oh, no, we good together. And then you forget like why you broke up, and it sucks. Like that's I feel is like Zion Williamson.
Well,
it's the best relationship ever. Till you get in a fight and you're like, this is why we broke up.
I feel
up.
Like De'Aaron Fox is a player you go after if you're a contender. I don't think if I'm a contender like the Rockets or anything, I'm looking at Zion. Mm. Like De'Aaron, if I'm training for De'Aaron, I think the answer between De'Aaron and Zion should be De'Aaron pretty easily, just because I feel like De'Aaron could take you over the top. Like, I feel like if you trade for Zion, maybe you're a team who's like still trying to figure it out. Like, all right, we could take a risk on Zion right here. Like, if you're a team trying to contend, why are you going to trade for a guy who might not even be able to play for you most of the time? Like, I think, yeah, De'Aaron is the one who should be most sought after.
So I think the reason why it might be Zion, I would go with De'Aaron. But I think the reason why is kind of what Jesse laid out, is the only thing holding up Zion is health. Because when he plays, he is a force. We talk about the dunk, but he still had 22 points last night, you know, in his first game back. Just 22 out. He might have been on some type of minutes restriction or whatever, but he's a bucket. He's a walking bucket out there, an unstoppable force a lot of the times. And I think somebody could, like, kind of trick themselves into saying, like, if he just stays healthy, like, they tongue-in-cheek a little bit, but just get him out of New Orleans where all that food is. Get him out of there. Mm-hmm. Get him with our guys, and like we'll keep him healthy. Because when he's healthy, he's good to go. And it's not really an argument against De'Aaron, because I don't know what they would say against De'Aaron. I think they would look at Zion and say, "Man, he is so dynamic when he is able to play."
Okay, I'll tap in with our man Tom, who said, "Man, why don't you throw Booker into that conversation?" So I'll open it up. Zion, Foxy, or Book?
That's tough. I think Fox would be third in that. Like, I think he would be too,
because I think Book would be first. Yeah. I don't think Fox should be behind Zion, but whatever.
Yeah.
I think Book would be first.
I think so. Devin Booker is... I'm a big Devin Booker fan.
And I don't know.
Even though he frustrates me sometimes.
Yeah, what'd you call him?
I said, come on, D-Book.
I don't think that's what you said. I called him what I called Tyler Hero the other day. Tyler Hero didn't do nothing but hit a shot, and I just got mad at him.
Who's the better player, Fox or Booker?
So I think it is a lot closer than people want to admit.
It's close, and I feel like Fox plays a more important position, if that makes sense.
I'll tell you my probably goes into my preference. I like my guards that can shoot the rock, and that's probably why I lean a little bit more to Book. Fox has gotten better, and he's pretty automatic in that mid range. Like when you talk about 15 feet or so away, but I think about Devin Booker right now, and I think about him in that triple threat position, just really being a triple threat. Like I can pull up on you right now with no dribbles. I can do that from three. I can do it from mid range. Get to the cup. He's that dude. But That's one aspect. He's a good defender. We saw it in the Olympics. I think Fox is a better defender.
The Olympics, I think, most impressive things Devin Booker's done. Mm-hmm. Book, I think Book and Fox are far, far closer than national writers are to admit.
I agree.
Because sometimes I feel like Book lacks something. Mm. I don't know what it is. I don't even know if it's his game. I feel like is missing something. You disagree? I don't think his game is flawed. He's not a great defender, but like Book is a hell of a, like Book is consistently a top 10, at worst 15 basketball player in the league. Mm-hmm. But I just feel like he is missing something when it comes to, you know, maybe cracking into that top five category or whatever.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, I think he's got it all. It could have, I was going to say, could it be one of those things where that's what we and others say about Fox sometimes?
Well, and that's kind of what I'm alluding to. Does he have the, I don't know if mental approach is the right, like is, see, Book, let me ask you this, is Book an assassin?
So I think he does, and that's why, that's part of the reason why he got called what he called sometimes. Because every time I see him, it's like, why are you so angry? The game just started. Like, why are you tripping?
What was it that you called him?
Just D-Book.
That's not what it was. It was a different B word. For those that are not familiar.
But it's like, what's wrong? What the hell is wrong with you? Yeah. And that's like, but I've also said at the same time, which when I did my face turn, I said, oh, I like that. Mm-hmm. I like that. But like, he's pissed off. Why are you pissed off? I don't know, but I like it. And I think he does have that a little bit more than Fox does on a consistent basis. Mm-hmm. They're really close, though. They're really, really close, mm-hmm, as far as players. Both players that I really, really like. And I lean a little bit more towards, you know, like the guy that can shoot consistently, and Devin Booker. But I mean, De'Aaron's creation is something that I love as well. So that's a tough one. Around the league, though, I'm with you. I think they would look at Booker first. They might look at Booker and Zion, and then Fox.
This is an interesting. I'm gonna take Mitch's question and try something different with it. He says, "Would you trade Fox for Book?" I'm going to take that and say, would the Sacramento Kings be any different if it was Devin Booker and not De'Aaron Fox?
Hmm. I don't know.
I don't think they would be. I don't think they'd be better. I don't think they'd be worse.
I think they'd be the same, if not a little bit worse.
Hmm.
I don't know.
I think you're lying. Why are you smiling?
No, you know the answer. Say it. Say the answer.
Will you grow?
You know, yeah. Say it.
So if they kept Malik, it was just a straight up trade.
Straight swap.
And you have Malik starting at the point and Booker at the two.
I'm going to do the leg drop.
Go ahead. Do it.
I don't know.
Do it. Oh, you
I don't know.
That's
I
not, really not. Don't.
Now you know.
But no.
Now you're being a little D-Book. Say it.
The reason why I'm smiling is because the fact that I'm even thinking about it is kind of crazy. I don't know.
I don't think it's crazy. It's the point of the question. That's are a the tough Kings one. Better if you swap Devin Booker and De'Aaron Fox? My thing is, I don't think they are. I think they're about the same. But clearly, someone in this room thinks.
Yeah, you need to admit it.
You want some Uncle Nearest so you can start cussing at the camera like I did? Go ahead.
No. But this is what I say.
What are you doing with him?
The Jesse version is hilarious. What are you doing with him?
Jesse's is funny. In fact, everything that guy related, I'm getting off the board.
Jesse, we're going to have you record that, and then we'll put that.
We'll get the studio.
But I, like I said, though, it is a little bit of like my preference from my guard, from my basketball player. Just Devin Booker's ability to shoot, three-level shooting,
mm-hmm,
is something that I'm attracted to. I love that. And Fox, he's got the speed.
Mm-hmm.
He's got mid-range off the bounce. But like you asked me right now, if I'm at the gym and De'Aaron Fox and Devin Booker are there and they're doing a $500 three-point shooting contest, who are you going with?
Book.
And that's just what I'm attracted to.
Book. Yeah.
You know what I mean? And that's what gives me pause. That doesn't mean that De'Aaron can't find other ways to be just as, if not more than effective, but that more effective, excuse me. But that's what I'm blinded by.
All right, here.
The book can do that.
Okay.
That's what I'm blinded by.
If we take away Fox's speed and his high caliber defense, but we add Book shooting and what he brings to the table, are the Kings better?
Wait, what?
Like, if you add their abilities, because Book's not a better defender or anything like that. I don't think he can handle the ball better. But, like, you want to add his shooting. You take away what Fox does well, but you add what Book can do to this team, like his abilities. Does adding that, what he brings to the table, does that make the Kings better?
I'm not trying to be on I really don't know because you're taking things away. Like, if you bring Book in and the things that I like about Devin Booker that I think would improve the team, you have to also say that you're taking away the things that Fox brings, the defense, the speed, the tempo, and all this other stuff that I think helps the team as well. I'll get off the fence and I'll say, I think they might be a little better with Book. I think they might be a little better with Book.
Well, yeah, Monk and Book, like, you act like you're dying when you say that out loud.
Because Fox is my boy. I like Fox.
You act like you're Wesley Snipes in the meme.
That sounded like what he said in Juice when he's like, why don't got a problem with Bishop? He's like, oh, Bishop's your boy? I like Bishop.
Mm-hmm. Now Miss Fox ain't going to talk to you either. Let's get Manny in here. 916-909-1320. What's up, Manny?
Up, y'all. Yeah, I love Book. I think, and I don't know, D'Lo, I know you said there's something that you can't put your finger on. For me, I think sometimes it's almost the same with Fox, where I just feel like there's times he just kind of like, he just goes through the motions. Like, he's so good at what he does sometimes, it just looks like he's going through the motions. And I think there's another gear, the same way Fox has another gear. And, like, even sometimes when he's on the floor with Durant, and that's like, bro, this is your team. Like, I know Durant came, Beal came, whatever, but this is your team. You've been here the longest. You're the longest tension. And I feel like sometimes he kind of sits back and waits, and it's like, bro, you got all facets on that end of the floor. Like, there's nothing you need to wait for. So, I mean, that's my thought on that, right? And I get it, Casey. You don't want to say anything because maybe your chef will go talk to Fox and then they won't talk to you either.
So what?
I get it. Yeah. You know, I get it. But
I don't have tonight, a personal chef.
No, it's okay. It's okay, man. Tonight, 8 p.m., we're going to talk about the week that just passed, man. We got a whole week of change. We're going to talk about leadership.
Yeah.
With the Dougie leadership, the players' leadership, everything all around, right? So we'll talk about that. We'll talk about the D-Rose ceremony, and then I want to talk about Tavarius Ward a little bit too, Tavarius Ward, because I think that human side of that story needs to be talked about a little.
There we go.
8 p.m. tonight, man.
All right, Manny.
Keep going, Manny. Keep going. Don't stop this. Don't stop it. Keep going. Yeah, I don't know, man. That'd be tough. You also got the
I think Manny had the second most listened to show on sports radio tonight. Mike was fired.
Numbers.
I'm going to check those stats.
Yeah, go check them out. There's so many words that day.
Numbers was going crazy. Speaking of numbers, I'll tell you something in a second. But you also got the thing of Booker's there. You're going 6-3-6-6 in the backcourt.
Yeah.
As opposed to 6-3-6-3, 6-2-6-3, something like that. So I don't know, man. That's a tough one. That's a tough one.
Yeah, it's tough. We'll ask James about it. James Hamm joins us. James Hamm and the Insiders. When D'Lo and Casey return here on Sacramento Sports Leader, ESPN 1320. James Hamm set to join us coming up here at the top of the hour. Talk more Kings basketball with him as the Kings take the floor in Boston against the Boston Celtics. Looked six straight. As the Beam team is rolling right now. NBA on Prime announced their lead studio crew this morning. Taylor Rooks, as we heard, she's going to be the lead studio host. And then, as rumored, Dirk Nowitzki will make his television debut.
Hey.
And Blake Griffin will join the staff.
Shout out Dirk, man. Shout out
Sounds
Dirk
like a good
Blake.
Little crew.
Yeah, I'm with that.
As long as there's no one in there lying to her. Well, you'll be just fine.
Well, Taylor, you know when I played for the Clippers and we... Yeah. There'll be a lot of that, but it's going to be a good crew. I thought about the NBA and everything they got going on with the with NBA last night, because I mentioned Michigan and UCLA were playing, and it's a, you know, what they've done this year has been a whole, like, broadcast, mm-hmm. you know, for big, they got Big Ten basketball and stuff like that. And it's like, all right. It had just had me think, like, all right, this is what it's going to look like with the NBA. Like, they got the studio show, they all the layouts and the graphics, the way they do it. They have a post-game show every time that's, you know, showing highlights for about 20, 30 minutes. And I was like, all right, this is getting me mentally prepared for what goes on. They have a, I think NBA, the NBA app has this too. And I don't know what kind of restrictions they may have, but on the Peacock app for Big Ten basketball, college basketball, they have a, like, 30-minute running highlight of key plays from all the games in the Big Ten that day. And I wonder if they'll do that for the NBA. Like, just 30 minutes. If there's seven games, you get to see all the highlights in a 30-minute span. No studio show, just clips, mm-hmm. clips for 30 straight minutes.
I like that.
I wonder
that.
If they do something like that.
I like that. That a lot. Yeah. That's on Peacock?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Well, my Peacock's up and ready. So
whoa!
So not you, here, it's not, pal.
No. So you hear how it sounds now? I just wanted to be clear. Just trying to make a point.
That's funny.
Yeah. Okay. Now it's funny. You was complaining about flags earlier. Now it's funny. That was a coach getting attacked to make a point.
Oh, that was definitely on purpose.
That was Mike Brown running up on that ref.
Who's laughing now, Mike? That referee, whoever it was, somewhere like, this guy.
But see, yeah, I wonder if they do that.
I like that, though. That's pretty dope.
They do that on MLB's app, or maybe it might be Apple. I think it's on Apple TV. They have, I think, that one daily for baseball is like, I think it's like 30, 45 minutes of just nonstop highlights of every game to play. Pretty cool. Speaking of that Michigan UCLA game, did you see Mick Cronin after that game?
I don't think so.
Mick Cronin, head coach of UCLA, mm-hmm. Michigan, took care of business like I told John Poles they would. You know what I mean? Go blue. Handle business on them boys.
Okay.
It's nothing.
Relax.
It's nothing. This is what we do. You know what I mean? Mick Cronin, head coach of UCLA, and he was very, he wasn't very nice about
damn near
team.
Called him a bunch of casuals.
Yeah, he said.
Called who?
I'm trying to find the exact quote because there's two different parts to it. Ah, there he goes. He says, on one of them, he says, yeah, it's just, you know, it's just tough. Like, we're soft. You know, it was a joke out there. He says, really hard to coach people that are delusional.
Damn.
I said, wow.
Damn. Wow,
Mick Cronin. Yeah, Mick is he's an interesting cat. We're soft. It's a joke. But yet, I come in and I have more passion and energy and pride than everybody. It's really hard to coach people that are delusional.
Goodness gracious.
I wonder what practice was looking like today. Damn.
I don't even know how I would react to that.
Would you rather be called delusional or a scumbag?
That's a great question. That's a great question.
A scumbag is crazy. Yeah,
I don't know.
I got my questions about Steve Kerr, but he don't deserve that.
He's a scumbag because he's not playing Trace Jackson Davis enough.
Jim Park is wild. It's wild.
This scumbag is really throwing everyone under the bus.
The person who took money from you is a scumbag, not Steve Kerr because of his rotations.
It's wild for some of the things he be tweeting. Man.
Part of me wants to follow him and just watch this.
I hear the spaces after the Warriors losses, like with Jim Parker just lit.
Oh, yeah, the clips.
That's
the clips,
Mrs. B's favorite show.
Yeah, the clips that get cut from that joint are spectacular.
The Darvin Ham ones used to be fire, too, though. Those were my favorite. I tap into those.
Steve Kerr, the blood of the fan base boils because of him.
I might have to hit that follow button, man, for good old Jim Park.
Oh, man. He retweeted a tweet that says, "Fire Steve Kerr, hire Mike Brown."
That's really bad over there.
Wait a minute.
Oh, it is bad.
Wait a minute. Now this is getting even better. Does Jim Park have a YouTube show? I get to watch this guy?
No way. Does he?
Let me see. We'll find out right now.
Maybe China.
Oh, he does. There he is.
Buddy Hield destroyed the team's momentum with that stupid contested shot in the corner. Just replace him with Moody.
No, Jim Park has got a spin right there. The heat check for somebody else's makes.
Buddy Hield is just a bad basketball player, man. It's really hard watching him play. Well, Jim, we can relate, buddy.
You know, back in the Jim Park lore, he was a Kings fan once upon a time.
I remember hearing about that. Let me subscribe to his YouTube channel. I'm subscribing.
Steve Kerr should be completely ashamed of himself. His team plays with no confidence as they continuously try to run his trash offense. He's lost the team.
Now, Steve Kerr...
By the way, this is all in the last 24 hours. This is all in the last 18 hours.
Now, to be fair, I was listening to our boy Guru earlier today, and he took umbrage with Steve Kerr saying that team didn't have any confidence. He's like, well, why are you saying that? Why are you telling people that? Well, you're the coach. Do you have a problem with that? Steve Kerr saying, we're just not playing. We don't have any confidence right now.
It sounds like something Mike would have said. Yeah, don't say that publicly. Like, you don't have to.
They still
you
got
don't
games
have to
play.
Say everything. Yeah, like, people like, are relax. Here like, you don't have to do that.
Yeah. That was, I didn't know he said that till this morning. I was like, I don't do that. And the way he said it, too, just, yeah, we just don't, these guys just don't have any confidence right now. All right, man.
Look at the magic. Powerful on defense, simple on offense, and still competing despite being decimated by injuries. Listen to what Cole says is the message from their coach. It's attached to a clip of Cole Anthony talking. In comparison, Steve Kerr doesn't have a competitive bone in his body. This is so funny. I can't lie. This might be my new favorite page.
We might have to check Jim Park daily, man. We might have to check.
Oh, he's a Doug Christie fan because Doug Christie might have had favorite odds in a fight against Steve Kerr. And it shows the video of Doug doing what he do.
Steve Kerr doesn't have a competitive bone.
Nope. Not one of them. Not one of them. I can't lie. I think I love this guy. Oh, this guy's funny.
Why is he like this?
I don't know, but he is funny.
That is crazy.
Oh, man. Somebody called him a pathetic devil, and he retweeted it. Steve Kerr, a pathetic devil. My God.
Come on.
I need one more. I need one more.
Oh, man. This dude.
I need one more good Steve Kerr tweet before I leave the page.
Oh.
I need one more good one. Come on, let me find a good one. He hates Draymond, too, so apparently Draymond's new favorite word is boom.
Boom. Here's
right. I don't think I'm going to find another good one.
Well, Steve Kerr is talking, and he says, I can't sit here after that and be excited about anything. He scored 19 points. Great. He's having a good season. But who the hell cares if we're not competitive? Damn, who the hell is he talking about? TDG? Whatever. It doesn't matter. Jim Park responds to that and said, this is how Kerr talks about his young players who needs an injection of confidence. Even though he praised Curry all day, he disempowers everyone, and especially the younger players. Mm-hmm. He has no development capability. He clearly hates TJD. Maybe he didn't like Dale Davis.
That was one I was looking at earlier where I was like, if you just trade Trace Jackson Davis for Keon Ellis, you have people talking about. It was funny. I was thinking, you have people talking about Mike with Keon Ellis. Then I realized, well, you have Mike talking about people like you have people talking about Mike with Kevin Herter. Or insert player here, Terrence Davis. Come to think about it, yeah, Mark Ains brought this up. If Mike did have a long list of people who seemed to get on his nerves,
it was somebody new every year.
Every year. Every single year.
Man. Well, Jim Park, you got a follower in your boy.
That's pretty funny. I'm not following, unless you work at 95.7, I'm not following too many people who are associated with the Warriors, but I'll peek in on his account.
Yeah. Only when the Warriors lose. I mean, he might say something crazy when they win too, but it's a lot more funnier when they lose.
Way funnier. Shout out to we mentioned it earlier. Shout out to Trae Young for that shot last night.
Oh,
that was awesome.
Man.
That was incredible.
That was crazy. So I was watching the games, but I was like watching the kids too, and was doing getting Ryan's dinner ready or getting the food on the plate. And I turned over and I looked at the TV and I see Trae Young doing this, doing his little ice tray thing, and which is a great celebration.
That's a good one.
I'm a Trae Young fan though, but I see him doing that, and I was like, oh. And then people were jumping on it. I'm like, oh, did he just win the game? Am I watching this live? Like, and I was like, oh, it is live. He just hit a buzzer beater. Oh, let me see the running floater that he hit real quick to beat the Jazz. And then I see, like, they're going up, and he just launches it from beyond. I say, this isn't the game winner, is it? Mm-hmm. Launches it from beyond half court to win it. I said, oh,
and didn't even
goodness.
Break stride when he hit the – he damn near hit the Miss America wave. That was great because the crowd erupted.
Yeah.
It was hot in there. And Trae cooled it down. That's good stuff. That's good NBA basketball.
That
right
was
there.
Good NBA basketball, man. It was a good night last night in the association.
It was.
Boston and Denver. Did you watch
Boston,
any of that?
I didn't. I got in too late for that one.
It was just on the screens and stuff. But that's talking to Jesse earlier. Boston looking like they're ready for the big game on Friday. You know, this is a big test. Yeah, they've been circling this game.
Those Kings won last five. Boston not been looking great last few weeks or whatever. So,
Porzingis back.
Celtics been playing boring ass basketball seasons, I guess.
My boy Tatum was doing work. What did he finish with? Did he finish with a big game? Because it just felt like
he had 30+.
30,
yeah, he was cooking every time I turned around.
Yeah, they should have everyone back for Friday too. Derek White was out with the illness.
Oh, great!
So that's fantastic.
Awesome.
Squad's at 100%. Hopefully, Darren Fox can play.
No, no back to back for them. They
no, I checked.
Give
too.
Them a week off.
They play, yeah. I think, Memphis or the right. Pelicans on Sunday. So, all good. 2 days rest before the game on Friday.
This is just perfect.
Nah, think about it. Didn't the Kings have practice today at like 10:30? Or no?
De'Aaron was in the practice facility. That's the video I did see. So, I don't know
if
it was a practice
had,
or a shoot around or what.
Yeah, no, they did. They had practice today. Mm.
Yeah, because they're probably leaving
not
today,
really,
huh?
Yeah, not really getting. They are leaving today. I only remember because Mark said, I'll see you on the charter on Wednesday at the end of the interview. Yeah, I don't see any clips from practice today except the one video of De'Aaron dribbling the ball.
The whole organization's not talking anymore.
Well, that's fine. That's fine.
Just never going to hold another press conference or media scrum.
Domas is the happiest person alive every postgame now.
Oh, he definitely is. We didn't even play the game after the
the 10 seconds.
The when he was out of gas and he was smiling from ear to ear. We didn't even check to see how long his answers were. We might have to do that.
Yeah, we could do it because I don't think we're gonna get one over 10 seconds. Although he's very happy right now.
He's very he was happy, but he was exhausted. And that, like, he was in the. I saw the Kings video. I didn't see Sean's video. It picked up right when Domas started talking. He was just like, "I'm I'm tired. But he's smiling ear to ear. Let's see. 50 minutes Dougie.
Played in that game.
There's a boy smiling. So let me add this to the screen.
So it's funny. I saw, I don't know if I can say, but I just saw somebody that we all know after the game,
mm-hmm.
and we were talking about Keon. I was like, man, Keon, yeah, it's crazy. He wasn't playing. He played today. I was like, man, what did he play today? Probably like 33 minutes or something like that. We pulled him up on the phone. 48 minutes. Ooh.
Who was it?
Just a guy we know.
Oh.
He used to be in the chatty house a lot.
Oh, yeah. Shout out to our guy right there.